first part of the Tochacha is obviously the shorter part. The Kodesh Baruch Hu promises us all of the rewards. It's not even rewards, it seems as if it's consequences. Consequences of living a life in the presence of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, peace and harmony and well-being and prosperity. Of course, there's a supernatural element, a messianic era, which is induced by religious commitment, will also herald life expectancy, skyrocketing, and the animals will no longer be predators, which might be very unknown. So it's not just that you'll create a just and stable society, which will be self-sustaining, but there's a supernatural shift. But there are two words in the Parshas Bichvul Kosar that are theologically difficult. One is, v'hitalachti b'tochachem, I will walk amongst you, I'll be within you, which Baruch Hu's Shechina is in our presence, l'fanecha, but not b'tochachem, within you. Certainly without, in the world of Kabbalah perhaps, but at a literal level, and everything has to make sense at both the literal level and the Kabbalistic level, v'hitalachti b'tochachem is a challenging concept, it's a challenging image. And an even more challenging image theologically is where Hashem promises that I will essentially, I'll clear my calendar to provide you with schar. Ufaniti alechem, befreiti etchem, vebeiti etchem. I will turn to you. Hashem doesn't know. I have to turn to you. I'm talking to one person. I have to turn to you and start paying attention to you because I've got limited attention. I've got limited mental resources. But Hashem doesn't have to turn to you. Hashem can interact. Obviously, Hashem's the will of all of reality. So, by definition, he's interacting with all of reality at every moment. So these are two very, very troubling statements. Not troubling, they're provocative. And in each instance, Rashi quotes the Taras Konim, but he summarizes each of them, and I want to describe the Taras Konim in its entirety. And in each case, he employs a parable. So in every other parable, you're trying to capture an interaction or an experience or an idea that can't be captured in rational thought, so you try to develop a parallel through a parable, parallel reality. And, well, let's read them, and then we'll see the reason that I am linking these two unrelated Rashis. Hisalachti b'tochachem. Very, 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 very peculiar Rashi. You wouldn't expect this. And it's very much disjointed from the rest of the Rashis. Atayel imachem b'gan Eden. I will walk alongside of you in Gan Eden. Ki echad mikem. Just like one of you. V'lo tiu mizdazim imeni. And you won't be shocked. You won't be afraid. You'll walk in, quote-unquote, parity or equality. You won't be shocked. You won't be unnerved by walking next to me in Gan Eden. Then the continuation is you think that even though you feel that equality, you won't be afraid. Talmud Lomar, and Hashem will look at the next pasuk. Now, how does Rashi get to this? How does the Sefer get to this? Language sound familiar? V'talachti b'tochachem.
Gan Eden.
Beruach Elokim v'talech b'tochachem. V'talachti b'tochachem. Beruach Elokim v'talech b'tochachem. But the first time Beruach Elokim was v'talech b'tochachem, we were afraid of Hashem. What did Adam do? Bayitchaveh. So here we're inverting the failure of Gan Eden with the Lachti B'tochachem. Now, ultimately, what's so jarring but intriguing about Rashi is essentially this is a reference to Olam Haba. Hashem is not telling us most of the rewards in Bichvul Kosar are, even if they're supernatural, they're grounded in this reality, the terrestrial. Here all of a sudden, Olam Haba is slipping into the narrative, slipping into the text. Now, it's very interesting. The Torah never mentions Olam Haba explicitly. Because the Torah doesn't want to present religion as a forfeit of this world, just a puncture ticket for the next world. It presents religion as the highest and noblest form of life in this world. Even if there weren't an Olam Haba, on the other end, the Torah has to insert references to Olam Haba for two reasons. A, because that's the eternal and, so to speak, real experience, not transient. Number two, that we shouldn't have false expectations of schar in this world. Because as much as the Torah describes the schar, it's not always corresponding to our behavior. Schar mitzvah b'hai al mareka. So the Torah can't be explicit about Olam Haba, but it certainly has to slip it in. And if there's any place the Torah wants to slip it in, it's Bichvul Kosar. It's Bichvul Kosar. It's a covenant of religious experience. So this is a moment for Olam Haba to get some airtime. But by employing the imagery of Gan Eden, and that we can correct the fall of man and create a reality where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will walk alongside of us and will feel, so to speak, on a par. Now, how do we feel on a par with Hashem? how does this emerge? So Rashi, I don't know if he used his language here. Rashi omitted the language of the Torah's Kohanim. So let me read the language of the Torah's Kohanim to you. Torah's Kohanim, here's the parable. It's a parable to a king who hires an aris. An aris is a sharecropper. And he visits the field, and the aris is shaking. He's trembling because the king is so frightening. And the melech says to him, to this sharecropper, why are you afraid? We're equivalent. Similarly, Hashem. So all of a sudden, our relationship with our Kadosh Baruch Hu, through the lenses of a field, so obviously we're using the agricultural setting to generate this parable, becomes that of a melech and a sharecropper. A sharecropper is a partner. So our relationship at its best, and the best way, so to speak, to feel that equivalency, quote-unquote, is if we are partners with Hashem. So which two words in Gan Eden made us partners with Hashem? Hashem put us in Gan Eden. The Avdol L'Shamro, we're sharecroppers. Now, the Avdol L'Shamro doesn't just have to mean, and the Vilna Gaon already quotes this, the famous Chazal, the Avdol means Tara, Shamro, Maisin Tovin. So if we perform mitzvahs, and essentially we're helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu construct his world, and we're a sharecropper, and naturally that partnership should make us feel, not God forbid equality, but like but we're partners with Hashem. That's a whole different, it's a whole different prism of our relationship with the partnership. So all of a sudden, it's a very, very densely articulated Rashi, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us, V'talachti b'tochachem, we'll walk side by side in Gan Eden. And keep in mind, remember the very famous offer Hashem makes to Yeravam, I'll walk with you in Gan Eden, and we'll walk together, and Yeravam refuses, because he says, Mi Barosh, I want to be ahead of the other tzaddikim, and Hashem promises him to walk with. So this promise had a deep cultural resonance in humanity, because they remembered reading in Bereishis that Hashem was walking in Gan Eden, and we were his partners, or partners-to-be, we filled that partnership, and we can re-achieve partnership. And the result of that partnership is walking side by side with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the continuation of Rashi, he quotes the next piece in Taras Kodim, is you think you won't be afraid of Hashem, Tam and Lomar. Because real fear is not terror and fright. Real fear is recognizing you don't understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu fully. So you can walk side by side with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and feel that sense of partnership and still maintain Yerush Shemayim. Yerush Shemayim doesn't mean you shake in your boots. Yerush Shemayim means you realize you don't know Hashem's full sweep and full identity and full essence. It's a very, very interesting Rashi. Coupled with another Rashi and another parable. Ufanisi Alechem. What does it mean for Hashem to turn his attention to us? We always have his full attention. Ufanisi Alechem. That's by definition. So Rashi again summarizes the Taras Kohanim. Efanem mikol asakai. I will free myself from all of my other tasks. L'shalem scharchem. To pay your reward. Still, it's a problem, isn't it? Hashem can't walk and chew gum at the same time as you would say. Hashem can perform millions of activities at once. By definition, it's an activity example. It's not even it's activity. So Rashi's really quoting the Taras Kohanim. Listen to the Taras Kohanim. Mashal, there's a parable, because you need a parable to help finesse a theologically provocative scene. Lemelech shesachar polin. So in Lourdes, now we're being cast not as Arisim, but we're being cast as Paulim, as workers. It's a whole different experience. A worker is essentially a slave. That's why we can't become Paulim, any other human being. As we saw in Bava Metzia. So now we're Paulim, but there are many Paulim. So this is a universal statement. We're not the only Paulim. Who are the other Paulim? Righteous people. So the king has hired many Paulim. There was one Paul that did more. That did more work. Nichnasu ha-polim, in the end of the day meaning olam haba, litol scharam. Now the polim all want to collect their schar. V'nichnas also ha-polim ahem. And that pol who had worked harder and more extensively was waiting in line with all the other polim. Amalam melech leosa pol. So the melech tells that special pol, B'ni, I'll pay special attention to you. Most of these polim, and I'm paraphrasing, they did minimal work. And I'll give them their appropriate schar. You, I've got a lot of calculations to conduct because you really worked hard. Cheshbon rav ani asid lachshov imcha. Kacha Yisrael ba'olam hazeh mivakshim scharam. V'umos ha'olam mivakshim scharam. Everyone's waiting for their schar. Shem says, B'nei efanelechem. I need some time for you. Okay, now, there are two or three messages in this medrash slash parable. One is we can't just see our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu as an aris, if you pair the two midrashim, but also of the Hashem, and change the word Paul into of the Hashem. Two is there's universalism here, that we're not the only Poland, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises reward for the Poland. Three is, if the king has to make a separate calculation, he would typically say, wait till the end. Let me dole out the standard $5 bills, as we would say, to every Pole. But you really have to sit there with a calculator and take some time. Now, the way the parable solves the issue is Hashem isn't taking time. It's just that's the feeling we have. Phoenicia Hashem doesn't describe Hashem theologically and metaphysically. It describes experientially what we feel like. We feel like we're that last Pole online, and Hashem has to tell us, wait, I need some time to provide you your greatest. Of course, it raises a more general metaphysical question. If a guy lives his life to the fullest and a Jew lives his life to the fullest, is it fair that a Jew gets more tzchar? But that's just a derivative of the larger question. If the Vilna Gaon lives his life to the fullest and I live my life to the fullest, does he get more tzchar than I do? So that's a broader question than just the Jewish-Gentile issue, although the Jewish-Gentile issue makes it more acute. But that's not the topic. It's an important midrash for that. But these two midrashim are very, very lush midrashim. Rashi quotes them very succinctly. If you don't go back to the midrashim, to the Torah's Kohanim, you're not going to appreciate the background, the need, and the inner code of Aris and Poe. Two very interesting rashes. Shkrach.
Thank you. When it says,